All right, now to consider our present situation in the light of Bible prophecy. I doubt if any of my listeners would argue but that we in America are in almost total disobedience to God's laws. It isn't just a case of refusing God's economic laws, but we are transgressing almost every law God gave to Israel. God commands that murderers, rapists, and homosexuals are to be executed. We do jail murderers and rapists, but often release them after a few years to rape and kill again. And now we are going so far as to pass laws which require businesses and governments and schools to hire and promote homosexuals. Under God's law, blasphemy of God was to be punished by death or exile. One Antichrist outfit plans a movie portraying Jesus as a homosexual, and I suppose our government will insist they have a right to show that movie in America. But God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap, and that is true of our nation. We are mocking God. We refuse his laws, we promote and protect his enemies, and we are suffering the consequences. In Deuteronomy 28, verse 23 and 24, God warned us of disobedience, and thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. The soil in vast acreages of farmland in central and western United States is becoming iron. It is setting like concrete in the fields because of lack of rain. Some areas are already seeing the clouds of dust rather than clouds of rain, yet few even seem to know God wrote of such a thing in his law. A few weeks ago, I read how God had warned Israel through the prophet Haggai that God would destroy the prosperity of Israel right out of their hand. We read of the earnings in a bag of holes, and I read Deuteronomy 28:38, thou shalt carry much seed out into the field, and shalt gather but little in, for the locust shall consume it. In verse 39, he says the worm would eat up the vineyard, and the locust is mentioned again in verse 42. Now these are not the worms and locusts of the field. These are something else, and they are identified in another part of the Bible. Turn with me to the prophet Joel. God begins through Joel, chapter 1 and verse 1. The word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel, hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. So whatever he is going to talk about is a prophecy for some future time, not Joel's time, as he told them to pass it on from generation to generation. Verse 4, that which the palmer worm hath left hath the locust eaten, and that which the locust hath left hath the cankerworm eaten, and that which the cankerworm hath left hath the caterpillar eaten. Awake, ye drunkards, and weep, and howl, all ye drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. God is saying, in effect, you were prosperous, you had all you wanted, and this mention of new wine indicates that, for wine is often used in the Bible to indicate plenty, good fortune and prosperity, and so on. But here God says the new wine is cut off, that the palmer worm hath eaten something, then the locust ate more, the canker worm ate more, and the caterpillar ate the rest. You can imagine how much a farmer would have left if his harvest were eaten up by four successive waves of locusts or worms. Not very much. But these are not real insects, only prophetic ones, and what is actually eating up the new wine or the prosperity of Israel is revealed in the next verse. Verse 6 of Joel 1. For a nation, and that Hebrew word there is goy, usually translated people. For a people is come up upon my land, strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he hath the cheek teeth of a great lion. Verse 7. He hath laid my vine waste, and barked my fig tree. He hath made it clean bare, and cast it away, and the branches thereof are made white. God's vine is identified in Isaiah 5 as the house of Israel. So here Joel is telling us that at some future prophetic time, great numbers of non-Israelite peoples, called here worms and caterpillars, would come into the land of Israel and impoverish it by eating up its substance and destroying its prosperity. Can anyone see anything like that happening in America today? Has the alien come in and established himself in the land, and is he eating up America? I think most of you must realize it is happening. Not only do millions of them live without working in our land, but now our laws are being changed to require that the alien be given preference in jobs, in welfare, in government employment, and so on. The alien influence is so strong in America that the federal agencies no longer even attempt to keep illegal aliens out. And now alien pressure is on to force the United States Congress to legalize all illegal aliens now in the United States and to give them citizenship status. They are taking the jobs, buying the businesses, and entering into politics. God said to our forefathers, "If you won't obey my laws, alien people will come into your land and devour your substance, just as the palmer worm and the locust, and they would impoverish you." That God actually would allow this, in fact would cause it to come to pass, is revealed in the second chapter of Joel, where God again refers to the locust and the cankerworm, and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, and in verse 25 calls them, "My great army, which I sent among you." Yes, God Almighty is bringing about an invasion of America, Israel, by vast masses of heathen and alien people, because we, his Israel people, refuse to obey his word. You write for that April packet with the book titled, "The Bible Says Russia Will Invade America." It is free and postpaid, and I'll give my address again in a short while, so you get a pencil and paper so you can take it down. But first turn again with me to Deuteronomy 28. After God warns of the control by the alien of Israel through debt bondage, in verses 43 and 44, he goes on. Verse 45, "Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed," or that Hebrew word could be translated, "brought low, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded thee." And some will say, "Oh, this is the old law. We are not under the old law. That was all put away in Christ." No, it was not. Jesus said he did not come to destroy the law or the prophets, Matthew 5. And Paul tells us in Romans 3:31, "Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law." Jesus did not end God's law, nor did he end its natural operation. Its natural operation brings blessings when obeyed and curses when disobeyed. Disobedience brings the consequences, and we are suffering the consequences. I don't care how many sermons your preacher preaches about how the law has been put away. Do not believe them. God's ultimate promise was to write his law in the hearts and minds of every one of his people. That is what the new covenant is all about. Does it make sense that he would put it away now, when the establishment of his righteous law over all the earth is his final goal? Of course it does not, and he did not cancel it or put it away. It is true, the blood ordinances and the rituals were fulfilled by the blood of Jesus Christ, but the moral law, its statutes and judgments, remain forever. Well, anyway, let's go on in Deuteronomy 28. He says of the curses, starting in verse 46, "And they shall be upon thee for a sign, and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness, and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things, therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger, and in thirst, and in nakedness, and in want of all things, and he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee," or an alternate translation of that last phrase would read, "until he hath made thee desolate." That is what we read in Joel, what the people called locusts and cankerworms would do to God's Israel nation, make it desolate. Then in Deuteronomy 28 comes further warning of invasion. Verse 49, "The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young." Of all the aliens we have ever read of, the Reds are the most totally brutal. Their murder, torture, and atrocities against their captives is so fiendish that it is often disbelieved. Our people simply cannot believe that any people could be so cruel and wicked. Khrushchev, who was presented to us by our press as a kindly old grandfather, was the communist boss of the Ukraine in the 1930s. The Communist Party ordered that the peasants' lands were to be confiscated and turned into communes. The peasants resisted, and Khrushchev moved in with tens of thousands of Mongol soldiers and hauled out of the Ukraine almost all of their food supplies. Khrushchev's Red soldiers arrested and sent to Siberia, tens of thousands of the ablest men, and an estimated 7 million men, women, and children starved to death in the Ukraine that winter. Anyone caught trying to bring food into them was shot on sight. The next year, Khrushchev collectivized all of their farms, and 25 years later, he was welcomed to the United States as an honorable leader of Russia and wined and dined by our rulers. In Russia, they called him the hangman of the Ukraine. Here, we were taught to call him Premier Khrushchev, because we just cannot grasp the enormity of the crime of the Red Bolsheviks. God said our enemies would be a people of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. Hundreds of people who witnessed the German defeat by the Russians in Eastern Europe in 1944 and 1945 told how the Red soldiers raped almost every woman from 8 through 80, and if the woman was pregnant, they would rip her belly open with a knife, toss the unborn child in the air, and catch it on the bayonet while the dying mother watched in horror. Others would force husbands and brothers to stand at gunpoint and watch as Red soldiers raped wives and sisters. Then they would either shoot the men or march them off to the east for slave labor. Of all of the millions of German men taken prisoner by the Reds, only a handful were ever released. Most were killed or worked out their lives in communist slave camps. Almost all of this has been hidden from the American people by our press and government for over 30 years. Now, Alexander Solzhenitsyn and many others warn us that the same cruel and vicious slavery and torture still exists in Red Russia. The Red Beast of Revelation 17 and 18 has not changed. Here is more of what that vicious and cruel enemy of God's Israel people would do. Verse 51 of Deuteronomy 28. "And he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle, and the fruit of thy land, until thou be destroyed or brought low, which also shall not leave thee either corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of thy kine, or flocks of thy sheep, until he have destroyed thee." The so-called left wing, or the pro-communists, both in and out of the American government, use hundreds of ways to harass and destroy American business, industry, and agriculture. Even while our Western farmers are warning the nation that food production may be substantially reduced this year, contracts are being signed by our government with Soviet Russia, Poland, China, and other red countries to ship them millions of tons of American food this year. He shall eat the fruit of thy cattle and the fruit of thy land, and shall not leave thee corn, wine, or oil. Can you see what is coming to pass in America? I wonder how long our people will remain blind to what is happening to them. This is Pastor Emery. Next week, God willing, we will turn to the books of the prophets for a more detailed description of the invasion of God's Israel land by her enemies in the end of this age. And don't be fooled by false teachings on this subject. The little land of Palestine, occupied by followers of Judaism, is not the land of Israel. America is the Israel land of Bible prophecy. The red beast of communism is not directing its venom and destruction against that little nation one-third the size of Arizona, but against Christendom in Western Europe and North America. We are the target. You will see that more easily as we read some of the more specific passages in the books of the prophets next week, so be with me if you can. Meanwhile, write for our free April packet. With my book, The Bible Says, Russia Will Invade America. One article in the book which should interest some of you is the story of a sermon preached in 1857 to a joint session of both houses of the U.S. Congress. In that sermon, the preacher told the congressman that eventually Russia would invade America, and it was written in the Bible. He did that in 1857, over 100 years ago. So when I go to the congressional offices and give them my book, Russia Will Invade America, I show them the article about that preacher who, before the Civil War, warned the U.S. Congress of a future war between Russia and America. You write for our packet. My address is America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Your copy is free for the asking. You will also receive our article, The Great 1976 Swine Flu Caper, showing how the government doctors knew in advance that the vaccine would cause heart attacks and paralysis, and they shot 40 million Americans with it anyway. It is astounding reading. And now they plan to shoot some sort of vaccine into the blood of 20 million American children. You should read this. Also, we reprinted a 200-year-old sermon from colonial America titled, Civil Rulers Are God's Ministers. That is included, plus a few other things. The announcer will give my address again in just a few seconds. Until next week when I return, God willing, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you. Read your Bibles and pray for Christian America.